Well, thank you for joining us today for another edition of our podcast, Conversations with Industry Icons. And today we have a special guest. Lynn Iardi is with us. She has been in gift planning, she says 30 years, but that's hard to believe. She's been doing this 30 years. She serves as director of gift planning at the University of Pennsylvania and is also an independent consultant and gift planning advisors. In 2019, she was the chair of the National Association of Gift Planners. She is a great speaker. She is a great trainer for organizations. And Lynn, we are thrilled to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Eddie. A pleasure to be with you.
Lynn, when you look over your career, what are the most important lessons you've learned?
The most important lessons I've learned, especially for gift planners, is patience. The work that we do doesn't happen overnight, so patience is probably the number one thing I've learned. I'm not always patient with everything. I like to see results quickly. So that's probably the number one thing. But the other thing is to be open-minded. You never know where things are going to come from. And I say things broadly, whether that's gifts or valuable lessons or wisdom or camaraderie. There are so many things in this field that you just can't anticipate. So the other thing, other than patience, I think I've learned is to be open-minded.
Good point. Now, I introduced you saying that you spent more than 30 years. First of all, is that true?
It is true. It is true. I started my career in 1989 as an estate planning attorney. So, yes, it's been more than 30 years.
Hard to believe. Time moves on. What do you think have been the biggest changes in our industry in the last 30 years?
Well, obviously the technology has changed, you know, in the last 30 years and even, you know, rapidly in the last 6 months. And that's one of the big changes. You know, when I started my first position in fundraising after I left the practice of law was with the American Heart Association in 1994. And, you know, I went in and asked questions like, okay, give me a list of donors who've given 3 times out of the last 5 years, or give me a list of donors who have been giving for 10 years or 20 years. And we didn't really have a lot of capability to do that in those early years. And I remember having a box of index cards on my desk with donor names and donor information. So, you know, the world has changed significantly since those years, and we have so much technology to use in donor prospecting and donor management and relationships. You know, we're using it in the last 6 months for cultivation, solicitation, and stewardship.
Boy, that is so true. I want to propose something. I'd like to get your reaction or response to it. I believe donors, by and large, especially donors who give major gift assets, I think they tend to be optimistic people. And during this time where we've experienced COVID and 2020 has been such an unusual year, what do you think about the average donor out there? Would you say they're optimistic, pessimistic, puzzled, confused? How would you describe them?
Well, I think there's a little bit of all of that, depending on who you're talking to. But I agree with you that, generally speaking, if we're painting with a broad brush, I think major gift donors and major donors do tend to be optimistic. I think, for the most part, people who are generous, who are philanthropic, tend to live a life of abundance instead of scarcity.
Yes.
And that's an attitude. That's an attitude.
Yes. Well, you know, it's been an interesting right now with all that's been going on. I am as busy as I've ever been with donors and planning, and I have not seen a lowering of expectations of what people plan to do for charity in their estate plan. What changes, or have you seen any changes with donors?
I haven't seen significant changes. And I, you know, in some ways, although this pandemic is, you know, unprecedented, and that's a word we hear often these days, I've been through challenging times before. And that comes with that experience of doing this for a long time. And I've reflected often in the last 6 months to the recession and the great downturn. And in fact, I shared the story recently that Penn was in a significant campaign that we kicked off in 2007 that was scheduled to run 2007 to 2012, when in the midst of that campaign, the recession hit.
Right.
And what we did was we persevered, and that was the advice that came down with from the top, is keep getting out there, keep talking to people, most importantly, keep listening. And we were wildly successful in that campaign. We exceeded the goal despite the recession. And I've reflected on that during this pandemic, because the advice really is the same. It's keep getting out there, even if it's virtually, listen to people, persevere. Donors will still give. Don't assume that they won't. And it was good advice during the recession. It's good advice now. Now, I shared this story recently, and somebody said, so when we want to know when the next big hit or downturn is going to come, we just need to turn and look when Penn kicks off its campaign. We could, because we're in the midst of a campaign again now. So, you know, every time we kick off a campaign, it seems a few years later, there's a major hurdle.
You know, it's always interesting to me when you look historically, anytime there's been an economic downturn, gift planning really pops up on the radar as an important ingredient to future success. Just zero doubt.
That was another lesson learned. Absolutely. Yeah. It's early in, in 2006, 7, 8, major gift fundraiser would say, that's okay, gift planning folks. We don't need you. We don't need your help. We can do this on our own. And then when the recession hit, many of those very same fundraisers were coming back and saying, what was it you said about how we can structure this, or how we can use assets instead of income? So, it becomes more important when there's something like this where there's any kind of hurdle.
Yes. Well, I'm keeping you a little bit longer than I promised, but let me ask you one more question. What has been the biggest mistake you've learned in your career, and what lessons did you learn from it?
There have been so many mistakes and so many lessons. If you do this long enough, you make mistakes along the way. Hopefully you do learn from them. One of the things I've learned over the years is to be prepared, to be flexible and resilient. And one of the funniest examples I can share with you is a story earlier in my career. Now, I've done presentations since the days of an overhead projector with transparency. I'm not going back quite that far, but early in my career, I remember traveling down to Washington, D.C. to speak to their local plan giving council. And I don't remember what club. It was one of the fancy Washington, D.C. clubs. And I went with my laptop, with my presentation on my laptop, ready to go. And when they tried to connect the laptop to the projector, it wasn't working. The slides weren't working. And I was sweating, literally sweating. And out from the kitchen came the chef, in his chef regalia, the white hat, the white jacket, the houndstooth pants, and he's struggling with the technology to try to get it to work. And eventually he did, but I had to start the presentation without the benefit of my slides. And what I learned from that was always be extra prepared, belt and suspenders. I email my presentation to myself so that I could access it that way. I put it on a zip drive or a stick, whatever you want to call it, and I have it on the laptop. And time and time again, that lesson from that experience has come in handy. And now when something goes wrong, and we're using technology more than ever, when something goes wrong, I did a couple months ago a presentation for Pentera, and at the last minute, the microphone wasn't working properly. I immediately switched to my phone and said, no problem, we'll use the sound through my phone. You have to be ready for things to go wrong and be resilient. And that happens with donors as well. So that's a lesson I learned early on, just to be ready to roll with the punches and don't sweat it.
Lynn, you're the best. You're a great professional. Another secret about Lynn is she is an amazing chef, and so she's got many talents and has raised two really special daughters. And Lynn, we appreciate you taking time today. Appreciate your insights. You are a special professional that we all look up to. You are truly an icon in our industry. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Well, thank you again for joining us on our podcast, Conversations with Industry Icons. We look forward to our next presentation. Again, we thank Lynn for this great presentation today. We'll talk to you again in the future.